The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is episode number 1153 with Sergey Young.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Anne Frank said, "How wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world." And Roy T. Bennett said, "Don't be pushed around by the fears in your mind. Be led by the dreams in your heart." My guest today is Sergey Young, who is a prominent investor in age reversal and life extension research and one of the world's most knowledgeable people on what the future holds for life extension. Advancing human longevity has become a passion of his the last few years after his father having a tough battle with cancer and having a personal health scare of his own. And he's written a new book called The Science and Technology of Growing Young, an insider's guide to the breakthroughs that will dramatically extend our lifespan and what you can do right now. I'm so fascinated by the idea of longevity, and I know this information will be life-changing for so many of you. And in this episode, we discuss the worst things to do for longevity, the most important things to do to reverse your age, the possibilities technology will introduce for improving our health and lives, and why Sergey firmly believes that if we can make it through the next 15 to 20 years in good health, we have a strong likelihood of living healthy to 150 years young. Yes, that's right. We're going to live a long time if we implement these strategies. And a big thank you for being here, everyone. If this is your first time here, please click the subscribe button right now over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify to stay up to date and informed on the latest and greatest on the School of Greatness. Okay, in just a moment, the one and only Sergey Young. Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness podcast. We've got Sergey Young in the house. My man, good to see you. Excited about this. You're on a mission to live to 200 years young.
I do, yeah.
You want to reverse aging. You want to live to 200 years. Why do you want to do that? And is that even possible for us to live beyond 120?
Okay, so why do you want to do it? It's, I have so many things that I can do on this planet. So right from the beginning, when I was a kid, I had plenty of dreams. And my mission is to change at least 1 billion lives by bringing affordable and accessible version of healthcare and longevity to the world. And so you need a lot of time for that.
Right. Doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah. It's not. So, and human body and mind is like the most complex thing for us to handle, to crack the code, to extend the resource. So that actually requires a lot of time. So if you think about this, if it will be one silver bullet solution for our longevity and health, we would then invented this or discovered this either in the process of evolution or through kind of science. So it's obviously it's much more complex than that. So that's a mission thing. And from personal perspective, I have four kids. As I'm an investor, so I'm saying I have diversified portfolio of four kids.
Right.
And well, it's just another reason to live.
Mm-hmm. So is it possible to
live to 200?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me be upfront. It's completely irresponsible promise today.
Yes.
And I'm actually communicating and using this 200 years by a number of reasons. One, if we want to change a lot of lives, you need to get an attention. So when you come in, into conversation saying, well, how about living 100 years? People are like, okay, you know, I've seen people.
Lots of people have done that, yeah.
So actually, I've created this whole three horizons, like horizon one today, horizon two, like in 5 to 10 to 20 years for us to live 250. And then, and it was not enough. people were like, okay, the oldest woman on earth lived to 122, so 150 is almost there.
Yeah.
So I created the third horizon, like human avatars, human brain AI integration, virtual world, and saying, well, this is where we're going to go if we want to live 200 years. But so again, I'm really mindful that this is irresponsible promise. But it's such a great aspiration.
Sure.
And as we discussed, like every morning, I'm 49. So every morning when I wake up, I have like 3/4 of my life ahead of me. So this is like the biggest source of energy for me. There's so many things I can do.
So just thinking that I'm going to live to 200, it makes you start to change the way you think, your actions, your habits, your routines, your plans. You're not planning like, I'm going to start getting sick in 20 years and then retire and then just sit around. You're like, I've got 150 years left.
Yeah. Well, that's
it changes your identity.
This is the term that we use, your psychological age identity.
Mm.
And obviously by our lifespan and life cycle terms. So if I'm 49 out of my 200, I'm still a kid. In a way, right? So the world is full of opportunities for me. So that's the aspect of that. And then your energy change, the way you look, the way you communicate, the way you dream, the way you share something with people. So that's a very important aspect of that. The other aspect is we almost, and this is one of our limiting beliefs, we always neglect the connection between our mind and body. We kind of think it's separate.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. So if you start thinking I'm young and you have your psychological target age like 10 or 15 years below your calendar age, your body actually start to react and develop itself in a different way.
You become
more younger. Just
the chemistry of your
yeah. So if you look at biomarkers, right? The studies were. We managed to reverse aging, literally, at a very small increment still, but it's just a lot of progress. Always had this psychological component, like psychological work stream, when people just think that they're younger than they really is.
When they think they're younger, they physically become younger.
Yeah.
And we've been able to track that or research that?
Yeah, so
that,
basically what is happening with... we just done a piece of research last year. It's still a pretty small group. But then the psychological aspect of aging, like thinking young, like almost think and grow young.
Yes.
Just one of the subchapters in the book is always the part of rejuvenation routine. And a lot of studies where we actually trying to reverse aging based on biomarkers that you have, like 44.
And what's the best way to think young? What does that look like?
Okay.
So what's a practice of thinking young?
Yeah, like, okay. So I can tell only from my own experience.
Yes.
Well, that's why we're having this conversation, right?
How do you think young?
Yeah. So first of all, you just need to almost like ignore your calendar age and allow yourself to be younger in terms of your dreams, aspiration, behavior. Just ignore like a social standards for you and social conditions and pressure for your calendar age.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing is just think about the figure. So my figure is 25 years old.
Man. The figure.
Yeah. Like a particular age that you think your psychological
this is
target
who I,
age.
I'm yeah. this old.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm like 25 years old. Obviously, I'm having my conversation. Well, Sergey, come on, you might look like 35 years old. You're not that young. But then in the end, if it's part of you for like many days, weeks, and month, it's just becoming your almost identity. So having your target psychological age ridiculously below your calendar age is a great
is
way to start.
It's a great strategy.
Yeah. So that's
Just saying I'm 20, you're 49. So that's you'd be saying like, I'm 25 years old. I feel 25. I feel and look 25. Just saying this to yourself, repeating a mantra, writing it down.
Yeah,
what is
priming?
This?
So what I do like in the morning when I do priming, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to live 200 years. Actually, it's better to have healthy and happy years because universe
like
will give
suffering.
You like the figure, but the quality is probably more important than quantity. So I'm going to live healthy and happy years, 200 years in the body of 25 years old man. Wow. And that's it. This is what I'm doing. And then in the evening, when I have my gratefulness moment, I'm just repeating that. And that's it. And usually it takes like a week or two for you to accept that or start accepting that and just make it and see the changes. Wow. You'll be amazed. You're going to behave like a kid. Your level of energy is going to be completely different. And level of aspirations and your mission and your kind of life plan is different as well.
So what's the... I know you have like... two different visions. Mm-hmm. One is like, okay, for the next 5 to 10 years, what are the things that are available to us now to help us age in reverse? Mm-hmm. And then 10 years and beyond, all the other things that are coming that aren't here yet that we can look forward to. So what are something that someone who doesn't have a lot of resources and funds right now, they can do to start aging in reverse besides psychological age?
Mm-hmm. Today.
Yes.
Okay. There's so many things that we can do. Might sound boring, but they work just in a brilliant way.
Right.
Okay. So just for the interest of time. So in the book, I have like a bonus chapter. It's 2 times bigger than any other chapter in the book. And it's about 10 longevity choices. With your permission, I just want to go through 5.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
These are 5 buckets.
Yeah. 5 longevity buckets. So, and let's start with the one, which is your importance of your annual health checkup.
Annual health checkup.
Yeah. When I have 30 seconds on longevity, even on the passport control, when people ask me like, you know, what brought you to the United States? I'm like, you know, I'm on longevity mission. I want to change 1 billion lives. And they're like, what? So what do I need to do? So when I have 30 seconds, I'm saying the most important day every year in your life is the day of your annual checkup. So yesterday, for me, I went to Human Longevity Center in San Diego. It was the most important day for me this year. When you have your annual medical checkup, it should be as comprehensive as possible, and it should be as expensive as possible to the extent that you can afford. Okay, but then and
what
and,
are the things you're doing at that checkup? What do you do? Is it drawing blood?
So you know, like
checking your sight, your hearing, your heartbeat.
There's so many things that you do there. Like I gave 21 blood samples. Just to go through all of my biomarkers. Yeah,
wow.
But remember, I'm kind of crazy guy. This is my mission, passion,
profession. You could do like
profession.
3 probably. It'd be
But I just want to mention that you don't need to go to extreme. What healthcare system has to offer to you on whatever level you are in society and in terms of your wealth is enough to detect the biggest risk factors and problems in your body, right? So don't think, well, of course, Sergey can do it. He's a longevity investor. He has an access. He has a knowledge. Yes, I do. But a lot of people around me, it's just hospital next door and having a dialogue with your doctor or with healthcare provider saying, you know, annual checkup and your risk are heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and not really neurodegenerative disease because we really don't know now where it comes from and how to treat that. So that's the thing. So what I do is like full body MRI, 21 samples of blood, CT, ultrasound check of your arteries here, your heart. Yeah, I actually put the heart monitor. I'm a big fan of wearables, yeah.
And it's crazy. For what is that? That sticks in your chest?
Yeah, so actually, this
just
is
the
a lot
skin?
Of fun. Yeah.
How's it
fun? Yeah, so for you have audio.
Yes,
audience as
and
well.
Video, yeah.
So that's like a small piece of wearable right on your chest next to the heart. So you can
kind of looks like a glucose monitor a little bit.
It is,
right?
Yeah. I actually have glucose monitor here. So it's Internet of Body. We'll come back to that. So you put it on your chest, you wear it for probably 7 days, and what it does, it's monitor performance of your heart on you know every minute within this 7 days. So then you ship it. It's right here on the chip. And it's much more kind of scientific, precise, and data-driven than everything we
sleeping,
had before.
How sleeping, what's happening during the day, in the morning, at night.
Exactly.
It's tracking all of it.
Yeah. And it's tracking. And the major focus is performance of your heart, right? Because heart disease and cancer are 2 biggest reasons for that. It's like more than 50% of deaths after age of 50 happening because of these 2 reasons. Okay.
Heart disease or cancer.
And cancer, right. And then
how can you prevent those things?
Okay, so coming back to your annual checkup, longevity bucket one. Think about cancer 20 years ago. People thought it's kiss of death. People were deferring their cancer check, because if you knew you had cancer, you're going to be dead in just a few months. Well, it's not the case anymore. We're right in the middle of winning the war against cancer. Mm. It's still very expensive. It's still extremely dangerous disease. But if you detect cancer, and we invest through Longevity Vision Fund, we invest a lot in early cancer diagnostic. Early on, like stage one cancer, your chances to recover is 93 to 100%, depending on the cancer type. Imagine.
If you detect it early.
Early.
So that's why having the health checkup once a year will allow you to catch it early, hopefully.
Exactly. And technology is really progressing in this field, right? I'm not sure to what extent you're comfortable speaking about colonoscopy, but that's the main kind of tool and intervention for us to check like a colon cancer.
Colonoscopy.
Yeah. So then I call...
How many of those have you done?
So I was just delaying my... I was like, so
I
afraid of us. I don't want to do it. So you do it under sedation. So I've done two in the last 5 years. So I call Human Longevity up and say, guys, do I need to do one this year? And they said, no, we have the Colon Guard, like a new product. And it's like $19, $19.
Colon Guard.
Yeah.
Colon Guard. It's like a supplement or something?
Yeah, no, it's a test. It's actually a fecal test. I'm not sure I need to go into these details for the audience, but
this is discussion. Stool,
yeah.
And then you send it in.
Yeah. And then it's, but just using the neural network built by artificial intelligence on the basis of 100,000 samples for the price of $19, you have almost like the same detection rate,
as
like this invasive, awful, and scary procedure. And if you buy 20 tests, I mean, you don't need to buy it. It's just part of your plan, right? But like for 20 tests, you pay $100. Imagine, so every technology that we invest in the Longevity Vision Fund, don't change the current state, and it's not improving this by like factor of 10 or 20%. It's decreasing the cost of healthcare for people by a factor of 10, 20, 50 times. And we invested in affordable ultrasound diagnostic. We invested in different wearables, early cancer diagnostic as well. Like $19.
Wow.
That's amazing. And like and it's more than 90%. And you'll discover the very early signs of the colon cancer in combination with full body MRI. Wow. And I can speak forever about the importance of early detection. And the same with heart disease. Just in the last 10 years, you have special... surgical robots, you know, like whatever the problem you have in your heart system, it's going to be fixed with enormous degree of reliability by human doctor who's just operating this through computer and this beautiful robots who's just doing. So, again, I can talk about this forever. So bucket number one,
the annual
one of the
health
most
checkup.
Important health checkup.
And where can someone go, wherever they are in the world? Do they just go to their local doctor? Do they go and say, I need an annual health checkup?
Yeah. So,
and
my focus, my focus is health disease, cancer, diabetes. That's
so ask them to test you on those things and go from there.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's number one, annual health checkup. That makes sense because knowledge is power.
Exactly.
And if you're not, I think most people are like, how do I delay this checkup the longest until they need to do it, because they feel like something's off, then they check up. But preventative care is probably the best thing you can do.
By a number of reasons.
It's like, just do the things to prevent it so you don't have to get sick.
Exactly. Well, it's 10 to 20 times cheaper.
Yes.
Right? It's much more successful.
Less painful.
Yeah. It's less painful. And you don't need to wait until your body will manifest itself with disease. Because at this stage, it's almost like stage four, right? And your recovery chances, like if looking at cancer, is what, 20 to 30%? And in terms of the call, and even if you survive, like my father had a lung cancer back in 2005. He survived, but he shrunk in size by one third.
His body.
Yeah. And his quality of life never recovered to this extent. So this is where my passion for longevity
you
started.
You want to live longer and more quality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so that's number one.
Two, I call it don't die stupid or don't do stupid things. Or scientifically, I call it passive longevity, right? So if you're smoking, statistically, you're going to live 10 years, well, less, right? And if you look at the average for your gender and population group, okay? So smoking, minus 10 years from your life. Not using seatbelts. Minus
what?
2 years. Seat belts in the car.
Seat belts.
Yeah, seat belts. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Minus 2 years from your life. Well, excessive consumption of drugs and alcohol. I don't even have the figures, but that's dangerous as well.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
So these are the simple things, or don't doing, you know, doing super extreme sports. Like for example, I've been blessed and I had an opportunity to travel to like South Pole and North Pole because it's still pretty safe trips. But then I thought, okay, what if I want to go to Everest, like the highest mountain on Earth? So probability of death, if you try to do it, is a little bit around, well, a little bit above 6%.
Wow.
So I thought, like, as a man who want to change 1 billion lives and father of 4 kids, I don't want to do it. So these are the simple choices. And again, they all rational in regards to smoking or your safety procedures, et cetera. So that's that's very important too. And people really underestimate that.
Don't die stupid. Don't do things so extreme that it gives you more chance of dying younger.
Yeah.
Okay, number three.
Third is diet. So one of our limiting beliefs, and this is what has changed for us, is we underestimate the power of food. And the food, and the fact that food can be our medicine, right? Mm-hmm. So in this regard, there's so many disagreement in scientific circles around what actually extends our life today. But there is almost one agreement, even the most skeptical ones say that if you decrease the number of calories, your caloric intake, it's almost you're guaranteed that you're going to live like 2, 3, 4 years longer. And the quality is actually going to be better.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is.
You'll look younger too.
Yeah, exactly. But then the question is how you do it, right? Because you don't want to, for me, it's a nightmare just to 3 days a week, 3 times a day, 7 days a week, just to control like the number of calories that you do. So what I do, I'm doing a lot of plant-based food because the caloric intensity of vegetables is so small. Even if we have like the whole table full of vegetables, you're still going to be fine. So that's one. Two, because of the current production practices for meat and fish, the industrial version of this is full of growth hormones, antibiotics, E. coli bacteria itself. So I'm just trying to avoid this. So that's important as well. And this is why you switch to vegetables as well. I also do fasting, but it's not for everyone. I do like 36 hours of fasting every week, Monday evening to Wednesday morning.
I've been starting to do that from Sunday evening to Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
And I feel great.
It's amazing.
I just did this a couple days ago.
Yeah.
I've done it a few times this year. And I'm kind of like, okay, once a month right now, just try for 24 to 36 hours.
Yeah.
And it's like maybe every 2 weeks or maybe every week eventually. Yeah. And I feel like I'm getting leaner. I feel like healthier, younger, all those things. So
Well, I also like your choice of weekdays because I'm I'm kind of trying, I'm killing the blue monster in the beginning, yeah. right? So I'm like, the most difficult part is like, do it on Monday and Tuesday. And then for the rest of the week,
yeah, enjoy.
You enjoy yourself. Yeah. I also like wine, but specifically Californian one. But it's really unhealthy, specifically from the age of like 45, when your aging processes are starting to progress. So I'm sticking like probably one or two glasses of wine every week, like on my sin days, like Friday evening or Saturday evening.
Max.
And that's it, yeah.
I just did a brain scan with Dr. Daniel Amen.
Yeah,
do you know
of course,
him?
Yeah.
Amen Clinics.
I interviewed him for the book, amazing guy.
I just got my results back literally last week and did three brain scans. Supposed to go back in 4 months. He wants me to he's giving me some supplements and some hyperbolic chamber.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I did my first one yesterday. I'm doing another one tomorrow. I'm supposed to do 40
Is it with
sessions.
Oxygen?
It's at Next Health here.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the chamber. And he said, I asked him, I go, we just had an interview come out with him, but I asked him, of smoking marijuana, cigarettes, or alcohol, which one is worse for the brain?
Yeah.
And he said marijuana, based on 80,000, I think, scan results, those that had marijuana had far worse brains than looking brains than those who didn't. He said, obviously, smoking and alcohol also affected, but marijuana is the worst. And so if we know these things, that smoking, alcohol, marijuana is bad for the brain, bad for longevity, why do we keep doing them? Why do we keep doing it?
Look, it's a trillion-dollar question. I can guess that I do think through evolution, we didn't really have access to all these things. So our body and our mind has never been prepared to tackle the challenge of this kind of over availability of this
world.
These things. Yeah.
Of the world, right?
Yeah.
The so much stimulation, so much opportunities, challenges, adversity, pain, suffering, media. Like, it was a much simpler life 100 years ago.
Exactly, exactly.
There was still adversity, but it was like, okay, we're just hanging out with our few friends in the in the farm, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's it. Yeah, I agree. And we've never been, well, that's why I talk about discipline and that you need and longevity, because otherwise your body through centuries, actually through million years of evolution, has not really been prepared to handle all the stress and all these choices.
Wow.
That's probably the surest way to answer that.
Okay, so
that's
diet
only
is
diet.
Huge.
And also the final, you know.
That was three, right?
Yeah.
Number four?
Yeah, final piece on the diet is the importance of like take out the sugary drinks. So like we're drinking water today.
Yes.
So that's super important. This we have way too much sugar that we should and we can process in terms of how our body works. The fourth is physical activity. Mm-hmm. And we have a funny view on physical activity. So, I mean, as humans, everything is like black and white. Everything is binary, extremes. So it's as a group of people just sitting and like watching football on TV. The other group of people are, okay, I need to run a marathon.
Yeah.
But there's so many things in between. Like the easiest thing you can do is just like wear your Whoop or Fitbit or Apple Watch and count the steps. 10,000 steps a day is enough actually to transform your metabolic state, right? To support your longevity, like a healthy state of your body. If you look at science, starting from 6,500 steps or 7,000 steps is actually enough, then it's a plateau. But you usually say like 10,000 steps a day because we tend to under-deliver in terms of our target. And it's very easy. It's gamified. You can have immediate feedback, like a badges, congratulations, prizes. And that's the whole thing. I had an interview with Adrian Gore, the founder of insurance companies. They are, I don't know who's their partner in the US. In the UK, it's Vitality UK. They started from South Africa. And like the only option and tools and resources they had to make people healthy is lifestyle changes. Because of the way the country was run and how poor they were, like it was like the only thing that they did. And they work a lot with guys like Apple, with Fitbit, just to make a change in your health through giving you different stimulus to do physical activity every day in form of steps. So like if you do every week, if you complete your 7 goals, you get like a cup of coffee from Starbucks. every 2 weeks is I think tickets to the cinema,
right.
And then but then the funny thing, you'd be amazed how many things that we can do for free cup of coffee
from
Starbucks.
Like, oh, I'm gonna go do this for an hour. Exactly.
So that's the thing. So gamified, and then obviously on top of that, if you can, you should add stretching. Mm-hmm. You should add like a cardio exercise, because this mm-hmm. is the best training for your heart and vessels. And remember, it's one of the top risks for death.
Heart,
so then,
it's
heart disease and cancer. So that's super important as well. And also heavy lifting. I've seen the study actually that people who are professional like heavy lifters, they have zero problem in any stage of their life, even during the old stage, zero problem with joints. And bones as well. I don't know how it works, but it's really amazing. So that's fourth. That's your health.
Everything. There are some heavy lifter bodybuilders who have destroyed their bodies.
Yeah.
So if you're an extremist with
obviously
it's going to shut your body down. But I think the science behind this is like the resistance training, the heavy lifting is increasing bone density.
Yeah.
It's like it's doing all these things for your body.
Yeah.
And muscle burns fat, so it's like helping you keep the fat off, which is helping you stay younger and all those things. So that's physical activity, number five.
Yeah, number five, I call it peace of mind. And as we discussed, every time we think about health, we kind of defer to and we focus on physical health. And I do think we underestimate the importance of the mental aspect of that, because if we want to live longer, we want to live in healthy and happy state. So that's important. And that's a lot of simple things like sleeping. My rule is
huge.
8 hours in the bed, 7 hours of sleep. So that's what I...
Resting for an hour, sleeping.
Yeah. So that's what I do. I might fall asleep earlier, but then just I don't want to mix that. You know, time in the bed is not always your kind of quality sleep time. Meditation mm-hmm. is very important. The problem, you just mentioned how difficult and destructing this world is. So by this means, we all probably have very high level of cortisol, the stress hormone.
Yes.
And the way Mother Nature constructed our body, it's actually meant to be like a spike. So you see a bear or something dangerous in the forest, you have a spike of cortisol, the stress hormone, you run, and then if you're lucky, in 10 or 20 minutes, then you can actually relax and your cortisol level goes down. So, but we live in with extremely high cortisol level, hour by hour, day by day, week by week. And it's very dangerous. So meditation is a really simple way to decrease your cortisol level. And it's because enormous health effect.
Mm-hmm.
And also in terms of the happiness, I think a sense of purpose and sharing the social realization, sense of purpose is super important. And as we discussed pre-show, if you think about like religious leaders or people who have a big mission in life, they tend to shine more, have more energy, and live longer. So
A meaningful purpose.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
A meaningful purpose. Going back, so those are the five out of the 10 buckets. Going back to the psychological age and social, I guess, pressures or social mm-hmm. norms.
Yeah.
Something my father did as a child growing up is he would never celebrate my birthday. And I remember all the other kids in my class mm-hmm. would have birthday parties, cakes, balloons, presents, all this.
Yeah.
It was like this big celebration. My birthday comes around, nothing. I got no gifts, no parties, no nothing. It was just another day. Oh. And I remember after like a few years of this, you know, once I realized at like five, I was like, oh, I'm not even, and then it was like seven and eight. I was like, Dad, why don't you celebrate my birthday? What's like, do you not love me? You know, it was like sad.
Yeah.
And he goes, son, we celebrate you every day, but I don't want to put emphasis on your age, on how old you're getting.
Yeah.
Because I've seen so many people focus on their age and be held back mentally and emotionally and physically by how young they are or how old they are.
Yeah.
And so we never celebrated it. And I was like, Dad, but we can still get like a cake or something, you know, and have like presents. But he was like, I just don't want you to be limited by your age,
by a number.
By focusing on time. as a factor that's an importance for you that could hold you back? And I thought it was, you know, after of like the sadness of it, I was like, this makes sense. And I grew up feeling just like, it doesn't matter how old I'm getting biologically, right? But psychologically, I'm staying young and healthy and fulfilled and fun and joyful.
Yeah.
I'm expressing myself like a child. And therefore, I feel young. And so, and I never feel like limited because I'm like, oh, I'm 38 biologically. So it's like, I can't do this. It's like, no,
you can.
I can still do whatever I want.
Oh yeah, that's a great story. I mean, it's obviously a little bit painful for the kid, if I can imagine. But that's a great lesson.
But it's kind of
a great habit.
It's breaking down the social norms of like how to put emphasis on our age.
Yeah.
And how, okay, now you're a big milestone, 30. Now it's 40. Like, oh, you're getting over the hill. It's like saying these things. Words have meaning and start to psychologically affect us. Like now I'm middle-aged. Okay, so you only got half your life left?
What does it mean,
So it's all downhill from here. It's like the words we use transform our mindset, which affects our physiology.
Exactly. You also touched on a very important topic of how society and our life will change if we're all going to live much, much longer. Whether it's 150 years or 200 years as well. And then I think the biggest mindset shift that we need to do is that our life will consist of several beautiful mini lives. Okay.
So mini lives.
Mini lives.
Seasons.
So, yeah. Well, that's a great metaphor or way to call it. So then every 10 to 20 years, we will have an opportunity and a pleasure of changing career, right? Or, you know, start to do things that you always were dreaming of doing. So that's that. I do think it's important to recognize. And we always be on this trajectory of redefining ourselves. And I do think it's very soon that we'll have it's going to be a social norm to make a lot of changes in your life in terms of, you know, education, career, even purpose, even the dream, every 10 to 20 years. Well, that's one of the things to grow young, but also I think it's a necessity in a world where our lifespan will go beyond or well beyond 100 years.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm curious about environment and weather. How does that play into age and aging or staying young? Yeah. Do people that live in cold, extreme colds live longer? Do people live in extreme hots? Is it more mild temperature where they live longer? Do we have any research on this?
Yes. So, and this is very interesting, actually. So every time we're talking about extremes, it's not really
good.
Great. Yeah.
Either side.
Yeah. So if you like right, you know, in the middle of Africa, right, and always under the sun, it's not that great because what it does, it's actually speeds up like the aging processes in your body.
Skin and everything. Yeah.
Well, the other extreme, if you are like really up north, that then
the body has to work so hard to stay warm.
So that's one. Well, the other thing is you are deprived of sun because it's like 6 months of
vitamin D.
Polar night and 6 months of polar day. You don't have like a vitamin D, which processed naturally in your body. And also you usually have certain limitations in terms of your access to nutritional food. Food is in deficit there in terms of variety and like vegetables as well. So you're really far away from kind of your organic farm or wherever you take your vegetables from. So I do think that we all, like if you think about US or Europe in a sweet spot of where we can live for to maximize our longevity. I also I talk about this in a concept called longevity revolution. I do think, and I say there's seven signs of longevity revolution just for communication purposes. And first sign for me is that I want you and all of us to watch out how longevity friendly our environment is becoming. So like China and India added 10% of their timberlands in the last 10 years. or driverless cars.
They added what?
Timberlands, like forest area. Okay. Yeah, forest area increased, right? So that's...
Why? Is that for oxygen? Is that for nature?
Yeah, well, that's... making sure the world is becoming better, right? And fighting global warming is on everyone's agenda. And these countries, they kind of thought, okay, if we will increase the timber, like a forest land, that's going to help to solve a problem. The other sign is driverless cars. So if you are, if you're driving driverless cars. So if you are in a driverless car, your chances to get in severe accidents or die is actually 10 times smaller.
If you're not driving the car.
If it's driven by a computer.
Is that out there yet? I mean, there's the Tesla that I have has self-driving.
Get in there. It's just a matter of in the next, because, I want to prepare all of us, not only for changes that we just discussed for today, but you need to stay on longevity bridge. You, in the next 5 to 10, 15 years, you need to be healthy and happy to make sure you enjoy the benefit of all these technologies which are coming.
That's not too late.
So I call it Horizon 2. So we will discuss that as well. Yes. But then driverless cars, so that's a natural choice. So you just decrease mortality rate by a factor of 10.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? Or plant-based meat or lab-grown meat. Well, that's just another... caloric restriction intervention. If you think so, I'm actually very hopeful and positive about the fact that right now we have a choice whether you go for usual meat or plant-based meat as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm not religious about being vegan or vegetarian. I have plenty of friends who are gonna have this habit, but obviously all these changes in the environment contributes to our ability to live longer and enjoy our life. In fact, I'm doing a lot of pro bono programs called Longevity at Work with largest corporations on earth. I don't want to use their names. And again, everything I do in longevity is me sharing the best of me, so I do it for free. But what we do, we create longevity bubbles, like a longevity enabling environment in their offices. So people use the stairs. There's healthy food in canteens and vending machines. They all have wearables. And then week by week, you just compare this department with this department, this state with this state as well. They have, and right now you have so many apps for meditation, for smoking cessation. And an annual checkup is a part of so many health plans. So you just need to have a good focus on that.
Yeah.
So this is what we do. It's just another way for you to improve your longevity chances, to make sure you're surrounded with healthy choices rather than you not just you opening out your fridge and it's alcohol and chocolate. I love all of this, but it's just not really healthy. We are not prepared to handle these choices on a regular basis by Mother Nature.
Yeah. What do you think is the perfect temperature to be at? If you're 75.2 degrees year-round. Or is it good to have some seasons where there's some cold months, some hotter months, some milder months? What do you think about temperature?
So if you look at distribution of lifespan all around
the
world.
The blue zones.
Yeah.
What are the temperatures?
Yeah. So if you are this not on the extreme side of the Earth, not on the equator or not in the North Pole, the biggest determinants of your lifespan is actually not the climate, but your access to healthcare. That's important. Your income and your genetic predisposition, right? So if you are unlucky in genetic lottery, you have rare disease. So that's bad. As well. Well, that's why my mission is to bring affordable and accessible version of longevity to the world, because I'm kind of less interested to create something which will cost millions of dollars and give just very few the opportunity to outlive the others. That's it. So, but then just to be practical here, I think anywhere between in the room, between 68 and 70 degrees is fine. People, so the way our body develops itself optimize itself is just reaction to mini shocks. So that's why like cryo chambers is important. Hyperbaric chambers that you're doing is also important. So mm-hmm. they change the inflow. It's usually kind of full of oxygen. So that's actually pretty important for yeah. your brain health as well. So that's why, you know, people love to, you know, to take like a cold showers. Because, I mean, if you do it like for 2 or 3 minutes, it's just like body starts to respond to that, like yeah. a mini shocks. And like, and if you look at what Nassim Taleb, Anti-Fragility book. So he's basically said that a series of mini shocks prepares us for handling much bigger shocks in our life.
Yes.
And this is the way body develops itself. So I do think, you know, making sure you're not that comfortable
yeah.
and it's volatile, right, in a way, and also temperature-wise is important as well.
That's good. What would you say are the 5 worst habits that actually shorten our lives?
One, we covered this a little bit. So one is obviously smoking,
yeah,
right? And I can expand it to like drug addiction, so that's one. Two, I don't want to talk about alcohol. I think it just goes without saying. Two is having your diet wrong.
Bad diet.
Yeah, it's bad diet. And specifically, we're living in a world which is full of temptations. And there's, we basically delegated and outsourced all our food choices to you know, big food producers, other suppliers, to advertising as well. So I do think it's time to take back control and responsibility for your own health through kind of defining your own diet. Third is lack of physical activity, so that's really bad. Fourth, I think it's just this reactive approach to medicine, which starts with us. So unless my body manifests itself, if I have a problem, then I'll see a doctor, right?
Right.
And it's usually by that time it's really too late to treat it in a optimal, inexpensive, and highly successful way.
Uh-huh.
And fifth, I think it's just priming ourselves to be negative, right? Because and we have like if you watch TV or you go to the news website today, you have a feel that the world is falling apart. It's not. This is like the I know it might sound ridiculous for some of you, but this is like the best time to live on this
ever.
Planet, statistically, you know, through the whole history of humanity, right? But then instead of that, we get this, you know, all the pieces of bad news. So I do think it's just keeping the distance from constantly negative news.
Yes.
Making sure that you have something positive in your life and in your mindset.
And how important is sleep to living longer? You talked about it a little bit.
I don't know if you had a chance to talk with Matthew Walker.
I'm supposed to interview him soon, but I've had Sean Stevenson on, who's written
perfect.
A book about sleep.
Yeah, so frankly speaking, before probably age of 45, I was looking at sleep as obligation. So it was almost like endless credit of hours.
Yeah,
that I can take. I can wake up early. I'll just do that. I'll stay late, etc. And then after reading Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker, this basically like changed my life completely. So I do think it's super important by a lot of scientific reasons. And I know I have a lot of friends who run like longevity and human performance optimization clinics all around the world. So there's a guy called Dr. Jack Radle. So first time I met him, I'm like, so what's your advice? So he... we had a lunch and he was just looking at me and he said, the beautiful, he said, Sergey, every night we have an opportunity to visit the best clinic in the world. We go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is the best way to put it. Right? So, it really costs nothing, right? So you don't need to be rich to improve your quality of your sleep. I mean, it's obviously just a lot of like techniques around that. That's it. And so this is the best clinic in the world in terms of your hormonal balance, the level of energy. In fact, if you look at science, there's a, so if you were sleeping less than six, well, probably 5 hours, your chances to get Alzheimer is 40% higher.
Wow.
Yeah. And neurodegenerative disease, diseases are such an unknown territory for us. So, I mean, if you can almost guarantee you decrease your chances to hit that by sleeping more, I think we all should do this.
Right, right. And what about, you mentioned not being negative. Mm-hmm. What does a positive mindset in general do for our longevity?
Mm-hmm. So my definition of positive mindset is like not judging people. Mm-hmm. And it's always much easier to say that rather than to live with this habit. But like your mental discipline is pretty important. So every time like I'm going in my judgmental mode, I'm always like, who am I? Mm. You know, who I am to judge these guys, right? And if someone does something, there's sometimes it's just like a good reason for him or her to behave this way. We just don't know that. So there was a number of reasons. If someone is just not responding to your emails, well, think about what if they have like a huge trouble in the family,
right?
And we always, by default, we're just like, well, what asshole, you're just not responding to my email. So it's like giving people like a benefit of doubt and always think that there's all positive interpretation mm-hmm. of other people's actions. So that's one. The other one is just giving more than taking from the world. I think it's very important because we have this transactional mentality. So, you know, I'll just do something for you and you'll do something for me. I don't think it's the way how world and universe works.
Mm-hmm.
And I just realizing that. And I've seen so many lives changed. People who just decided one day that they're going to share the best of themselves with the world and how rewarding it can be. And literally, like, and it's 3-6 months, and you just get completely different level of support and positive vibes and right. good things happening around you.
Right. What about money? How important mm-hmm. is money and longevity? How important is thinking about money, yeah. making money, not having money? Mm-hmm. How do these play in? Do people with less money live longer? Do yeah. people with more money live longer?
Yeah. And again, it's a sensitive topic for me because of my mission. Again, affordability and accessibility aspect is of the major focus for what I do and the fund as well. So it's a very complicated question, obviously. And I think that money is a very important resource. Well, this is the way this world has been constructed, that this is what we use to exchange for goods, services, and some other things. So in a way, which is coming back to one theme today, like how bad extremes can be. So if you're like really obsessed with that, it's actually replace your sense of happiness, sense of enjoyment in the world. You're like almost like insecure overachiever, which is working on, and it's mm-hmm. never enough, right? So that's one extreme. The other one is like if you completely ignore the role of money in our life, whether it's in longevity or like in a broader sense, then that means that some of the important things will not be available for you because there's is not going to be enough money or resources for you to enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about, I don't know, big house or yacht
sure.
private plane. I'm not interested in that. You know, my ass is as comfortable in economy class as in private jet. So the same speed and it's the same point A to point B. So I'm really indifferent about this this whole thing. So in this, you know, extent, but obviously I've seen so many people who became kind of happier by the moment they realize that life is just not about money, just mm-hmm. about simple pleasures, happiness, helping others, kind of things. I know it sounds a little bit altruistic, but this is like, I'm always been criticized for being idealistic. So mm-hmm. that's me.
Yeah. I mean, you've been around in the venture capital world, mm-hmm. investing world for a long time now.
Yeah, 20 years.
You've met a lot of extremely wealthy people, mm-hmm. billionaires you've worked with. You know a lot of these individuals. Does having more money make you less judgmental, more mentally disciplined, more altruistic with the world in general, in your mind? Or does it not matter?
No, I meant more, in proportion, I meant more happier and healthier people in whatever the definition is. Like, if I can kind of say I'm middle class, then middle class, whatever is between two extremes. I think it's because at a certain point of time, in the equation between you and money, money becomes kind of first. Mm. So if you elegantly kind of ignore or deprioritize that, it actually makes you more balanced. And think about, so when I started to do priming, and I was just thinking about what are the things that I'm the most grateful for in this life, I was really shocked, actually. Because I was thinking this whole career, like raising the next fund, finding the company who can change the world is like the best. But then it's like pictures of my parents, my wife, and my kids, and my dog, actually. Yeah, corgi dog. That's it. And it was, I know it sounds really obvious, but like for 45 years old man, it was shocking realization that whatever I thought is important, mm-hmm. it's not.
Right, right. What about the next wave mm-hmm. in 10, 15 years?
Yeah.
You've got a wearable on your chest, you've got a glucose monitor.
Yeah.
This is like version 1.0 of like technology
that's
connected to the body. But what is available now? What is going to be available mm-hmm. in 10 years for us to look forward to mm-hmm. so that we are disciplined now and we could use these things to accelerate living a longer life?
Okay, very interesting question.
There's glucose monitors now where you can track like your blood sugar, your spike in your food. You've got this heart monitor that's in mm-hmm. your chest right now. What else do we have right now?
Okay, so what I'm going to do, so I call it Horizon 2 of longevity. And Horizon 2 is about what are the technologies and scientific inventions that we're going to see and enjoy in like 10, 15 years time, 5, 10, 15 years time. But what I want to do, I'm going to talk you through like the three biggest areas for the change. But I'm going to be using examples from today.
Okay.
So one is genomic medicine or like gene editing or gene engineering.
Gene editing.
Yeah. So then there's so many things which is happening in this field. And if you want to pick up like one technology and one piece of science which would fundamentally change us as humans, it's actually genetics, right? And our ability to influence that, reprogram that, etc. In fact, I do believe that in 10 or 20 years' time, science and technology is going to be there. The problem is, it's going to be like regulation, obstacles and barriers, and ethics. I call it morality of immortality, because I do believe that we have created technologies to extend our life, but we haven't created life that we want to extend. And that's like the biggest problem.
Wow.
So if you're interested, we can discuss later. But then,
so genetic engineering.
Yeah, like genetic engineering. Because there's so many things that you can do. I mean, we might not know, right? But Moderna vaccine, and there's so many COVID vaccines, it's just gene therapy.
Therapy.
Yeah. So that's how close we are. Like 10 years ago, you can help like tenfold of people, like people who suffer from really rare genetic disease with the technologies that we had 10, 15 years ago. Right now, it's massive. Or there's a drug, I don't want to use this name, which helps you to reduce cholesterol. And 40% of people, a population in developed countries, including U.S., suffer from high cholesterol problem, including myself. So it's just gene therapy drug, which can, you do it probably once every 6 months, which reduce your cholesterol level. And this is how close gene therapy and you know, overall field of genetic engineering,
right,
you know, come to us. So this these are examples from today, but it's going to be massive in 10 or 20 years time. And that can, you can even on at the embryonic stage, you can you can make kids, and people are prone to, you can like defend them from HIV, from a lot of many diseases, from genetic disease as well. And like we already know like 3,000 genes which are responsible for longevity, for us living healthier and longer life. So that's technically we will be able to reprogram them or switch them on literally next 5 to 10, 15 years. I'm pretty sure it's happening today in the lab. But again, the question going to be is, are we ready as a society to accept that? And I'm not advocating it. So there's a huge debate that we need to have. What is permitted there? But usually you start helping people who like, and they're really late, having really late stage disease where they have no alternative for treatment apart from that. Similar to what is happening with Elon Musk and Neuralink. Well, if you think this, if you think about Neuralink as a way to help people who have Alzheimer or dementia,
right?
Well, that's a great invention. So that's the first is gene editing, gene therapy, very promising. There's so many science and technology of this, you know, developing today, including vaccines. But then it's going to be transformational in terms of the size of application of this technology and science breakthroughs in our lives. So that's one.
Okay.
Second is organ regeneration. So if you speak to father of gerontology, Aubrey de Grey, he's saying that what we're doing now, we're transforming the view of human body from biological perspective to engineering perspective. Mm-hmm. It's almost like an old car metaphor that he used, that if you want to extend resource of the old car, all you need to do is just kind of, you know, do
parts.
Maintenance and,
yeah, yeah.
And change the parts. So this is what is this is what we're trying to do in case of human body and actually human mind as well. So and then there's so many things happening in organ regeneration field. Like we 2 years ago we invested in a company from Pittsburgh called Lightgenesis. All they do is they regrow organs inside our own body.
What?
Like, yeah, so then
that's crazy.
I think it's crazy. Yeah, and they're starting human trials next month.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they just have FDA approval. So what is happening?
Oh my gosh.
So in today's environment, if you have a problem with liver and you need to have a liver transplant, you wait 6, 9, 12 months.
Oh, no.
Some people die. They couldn't really last that long. It's very expensive procedure. It's probably $700,000 to $800,000 for that. And success rate is not that high because your body thinks that this is a foreign organ and it does its
best. Wants to reject it.
Yeah, reject it. So it's autoimmune rejection reaction.
Oh my gosh.
So this is what is happening today. What Lightgenesis does, it takes a donor liver, split it in 50 or 70 pieces, use very non-invasive like laparoscopic operation to put it in your lymph node. It's actually here. Well, this is the best place to regrow that. And in course of 3 to 6 months, your body regrows like
no
your
way.
Liver B.
And then you remove it and put it in?
No. It stays there. And our body is just a piece of art, right? So, and it takes as much work from your damaged liver as possible. And that's it. You just live with that.
Wow.
So they've done it with mice, dogs, monkeys. And again, they just got it with 100% success rate, 100%.
Oh my gosh.
And they just got FDA approval to start human trials. So it's not even like 10, 20 years from now.
This is happening today. Yeah,
But then imagine how many lives that we can change that.
Or
Martine Rothblatt, amazing woman, the founder of United Therapeutics. They work with like 3D printed organs.
Yes.
They work with xenotransplantation, just taking organs from other animals, human-like animals like pigs, etc., and helping people who's just gonna die without that, right? Without that help. And there's so many technologies that she's working out. So it's just brilliant. And in the end of the day, actually, the funny thing that like the most difficult organs for us to recreate and replace are heart and brain, and probably for the good reason. But this will come in the next 10 to 20 years. Yeah. So that's crazy. We wouldn't supplement this with like computer brain integration interface. Anyway, so that's the second piece, like organ regeneration. And then third is longevity in the pill. We're so used to the model of medicine when we're just taking pills. And I kind of respect that. I actually think it makes sense. So we already have quite a few drug candidates for us that for us to be able to use them as longevity drug. Because right now, if you go to like, you know, Walgreens or CVS and you ask like a drug against aging, they would think you're crazy, or they will send you to cosmetics or to supplements. And this is counterintuitive, right? Because your chances to get disease like your heart disease, cancer, you know, diabetes is exponentially increased with age, usually after age of 50 or 55. So that's why is that? So obviously, we're looking at few trials like TAME trial done by my very good friend, Professor Nir Barzilai. When they take in generic drug called metformin, who's been there for what, 50, 60 years, very safe. Mm-hmm. And they start in the trial with 5,000 people to see if there's actually, you know, any positive effect on their lifespan and health span. And I think statistically, I do believe that metformin, we will prove that metformin can extend our life by 2-3 kind of even 4 years. But you know, please don't rush to kind of pharmacy or your doctor asking them to prescribe you metformin. You need to stay on longevity bridge. But then in 5 years' time, we'll have more different candidates for longevity drug. And in the and I always kind of try to remember these funny things, interesting things about different longevity treatments and interventions. So they do in the study with like 5,000 people with metformin. And you know that in every study, certain group you do metformin,
right,
and the other one you do placebo. So placebo for this study was more expensive than metformin itself.
Wow!
This is how cheap this whole thing. And this is actually illustration that not everything that and it's not a good excuse saying like, you know, I couldn't really afford this and this. There's so many lifestyle changes or the simple things metformin.
Sure.
We will be able to use in a very near future to change our life and to improve our health.
That's exciting.
And it is.
There's going to be new devices as well that we're connecting and with our bodies?
Yeah. So my concept called Internet of Body, I'm not saying this is my thing, right? I think it's natural.
Sure,
it's
sure.
Just like logically you expand the Internet of things
right.
concept to Internet of Body. And but we all going to be connected in many ways. So think about this Zio patch right on my chest. So what it does right now, it puts everything like 7 days data and nights as well on chip, and I just ship it to the company. In the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to be direct transmission of the data in my electronic health record database.
Yeah.
And that's it. And the same with glucose monitor. Watch out, Apple. Apple has enormous ability to disrupt a lot of things. And when people ask me about the future of healthcare industry, I'm actually saying that the biggest change will come not from old players doing new thing. The biggest change will come from new players doing completely new things.
Wow.
And like, if you listen to Scott Galloway, Professor J, he's saying, so if Apple want to add another trillion or two to its market capitalization, there's only three avenues. So it's
healthcare,
education,
yeah,
healthcare, and automotive, like cars.
Wow.
So that's it. So, and then I just seen a report a year and a half ago, I think it came from Morgan Stanley, that Apple might generate half of its revenue from healthcare by the end of this decade. Imagine that. We don't know if this is happening or not, but obviously we tend to think that our wearable is like, you know, help us to count the step, but it's already personalized healthcare devices. There's so many things that you can do with that. And all they need to add is like your glucose monitor there and blood pressure monitor. So that's going to be like 90 to 95% of data you need to measure on a regular basis.
Crazy.
So that's why, you know, I'm a fan of the different wearables, but I switched to Apple Watch because this is like probably the biggest and most promising platform, which also personalized healthcare
right.
as well. And then, funny enough, what was this? Okay, so it was a study I was just looking at from last year that 30% of the world data is healthcare data.
Mm.
Imagine that. And well, the other funny things, I'm full of anecdotes, that I think it was in UK, like a national healthcare regulator recently prohibits the purchase of fax machines for healthcare providers and hospital. Imagine, it's 2021. When was the last time you've seen fax machine? I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
But then it's still like 70% of the data exchange happening in form of fax.
Wow, that's crazy.
So what are we talking about? That's why it's important to be digital. It's important to embrace the concept of Internet of Body. And it's like as preventive as possible. Yeah. So it's going to be, I guarantee, it's going to be 10 to 20 times cheaper for you, for your healthcare provider, if you do that.
I'm loving this stuff. This is some great information. You got a lot more great data in here that people should check out. The Science and Technology of Growing Young by Sergey Young. Make sure
you guys
check out the book. I've got a couple final questions for you. This question is called The Three Truths.
Mm-hmm.
I ask everyone at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like you to imagine you're 200 years old and it's your last day.
Okay.
You finally got to turn the lights off.
Okay.
Right? You made it. But you got to go to the next place.
Okay.
You got to leave your body, whatever happens with your mind. But you get, let's say it's over. And for whatever reason, you've accomplished every dream.
Mm-hmm.
The billion lives you're changing. You know, you're writing books. You're doing whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You're living those dreams. But for whatever reason, you've got to take all of your written words with you. All of your content, your work, the information you put into the world, videos, whatever.
Yeah.
Got to go with you to the next place.
Okay.
So no one has access to your information anymore. This book and everything else is gone. Hypothetical.
Interesting.
But you get to leave behind three things you know to be true.
Uh-huh.
Three lessons you would leave with the world. And this is all we would have to remember you by.
Okay.
What would you say, Sergey, are your three truths?
Oof. Okay. First, there's only love. If people are mean to you, not supportive of you, being judgmental with you, discouraging you, giving you a hard time, you need to love them unconditionally because they are in search of life, of love. They are, this is what they strive for. This is what they're missing in their life. This is their way to cry for help. So whenever you think someone is really being bad for you, you just need to transform it into understanding that this person needs help.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now your responsibility to give him or her as much love and support as you can. And I've done it so many things in life, you couldn't even imagine how people change after you kind of give them, like even a recognition of their heart feeling or the hardship that they went through life in the past or today, type of problems that we're trying to solve, and you are there to support them and help. So that's going to be truth number one.
Okay, number one.
Truth number two is you need to embrace as much no's, in opposite to yes, that you receive. So we live in a culture where no is like a shame. We take it personally. We think it's failure. But then, like, speaking of Martin Rothblatt, who's just working a lot on organ regeneration. So she's saying, like, if I didn't receive my 99 no's, I will not get to my yes. So just embracing your failures and being really happy that someone has told you that. Because as I think it's Scott Galloway again, who's saying, if you're not receiving enough no's, that means that you're not going to try and hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third truth is the only guy, the only person in this world that you're competing with is just you.
Mm.
Okay, so no matter how strong or weak you are in any areas, your mission and your happiness will come from every day trying to be like a better, even a little bit better version of yourself, this is the most fascinating mindset that you can have.
Well, it's beautiful. I don't think I've heard those three in that order, so that's great. Thank you for those. How can we support you? Where can we follow you online?
I think the easiest way is to go to sergeyyoung.com. Mm-hmm. And we have a beautiful newsletter. There's a lot of newsletters in the field, but what we're trying to do, we translating science of health and longevity in very simple words. So it's kind of engaging, but also sure. interesting, because there's so many confusion in this space. So we're trying to be as science-based as possible.
Okay.
You can even like download the free version of chapter from the book. It's a chapter. It's my favorite chapter called Morality of Immortality, about how our world and we should change by taking responsibility for our own health and the health of the planet on our own shoulders. So that's probably like the easiest way to follow me, or like Instagram or LinkedIn.
Sergey Young on Instagram as well.
Yeah.
Perfect. SergeyDunn.com. Check out the newsletter, Instagram as well. Get the book, The Science and Technology of Growing Young. Make sure you guys check this out. Final question for you. Before I ask it, I want to acknowledge you, Sergey, for your mission. I think having the audacity to live to 200 is a big mission and a dream that can at least inspire people to live longer. Maybe they don't want to live that long, or maybe they can't think that big, but maybe they say, you know what? Maybe I get to 100, 105, 110, whatever it is for them. So I acknowledge you for your youthful energy, your maniac on a mission research, and your investing in these technologies to help it be more affordable for the rest of us to live younger. I appreciate and acknowledge you for that. My final question is, what is your definition of greatness?
Definition of greatness. Well, my definition of greatness is you are great when you're helping other people to be great. That's it.
There you go.
That's like the only thing we need to remember.
Okay? Sergey, thank you very much, man.
Thanks,
love
man.
It. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please share it with a friend, post it over on social media, tag me at Lewis Howes over on Instagram as well when you're sharing it, and text a few friends right now that you think would be inspired to hear more of this information. Also, make sure to subscribe over to the School of Greatness over on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and stay up to date on all the latest and greatest on how to take your life to the next level. I'm so grateful that you're here, and I want to leave you with this quote from Steve Jobs, who said, "The people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do." And if you are crazy enough to think that you can transform your life, then you'll be able to do it if you think about it and act on the things that will support you in optimizing your health and optimizing the way you think, optimizing the foods, the sleep patterns, all of these different things we talked about. So make sure you're doing the things on a daily basis that your future self will thank you for. And I want to remind you, if no one's told you lately, that you are loved, you are worthy, and you matter. I'm so grateful for you. And you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.